Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Kaveh Tafwayh. While Israel was busy conducting dozens of airstrikes against the Gaza Strip in response to what it calls a barrage of rockets fired from Gaza, there was also another incident that it was tending to, a flotilla of small boats meant to break the Israeli siege, the naval blockade that is on the Gaza Strip, in place since 2007. In this edition of the debate, we will look at how Israel's apartheid policies and illegal occupation has caused Palestinians to stand up while the U.S. and Israel try to figure out when to roll out a so-called peace plan. Well, first, let's bring in our correspondent, Ashraf Shannon, who joins us to give us an update about what is going on there in Gaza. So it's been a busy day there in Gaza, Ashraf. On the one hand, you have the flotilla of these small boats. And on the other hand, you have what's been a developing story at this in this case in point, and that is Israel firing on the Gaza Strip in response to rocket fire coming from the Gaza Strip. Fill us in on both situations, please.
Well, Kaveh, since the morning, hundreds of people of Gaza at the Gaza seaport were preparing to break the Israeli naval blockade of the Gaza Strip. Some 20 medium-sized boats and around 60 fishing skiffs left the Gaza seaport, and approximately 9 nautical miles or 8.5 nautical miles off the coast of Gaza, just one medium-sized boat and few fishing skiffs advanced, and then they were surrounded by the Israeli Navy, and they were harassed by the Israeli soldiers, and they were arrested, and the boats were towed to the Israeli port of Ashdod, north of Gaza. Meanwhile, the Israeli Air Force carried out at least 30 airstrikes on the Gaza Strip on dozens of locations that belong to Hamas's military wing, the Qassam Brigades, and the Islamic Jihad's military wing, the Al-Quds Brigades, and also Israeli tanks attacked Gaza. The resistance factions in Gaza did not keep silent. They fired dozens of mortars and homemade rockets. They fired back against the Israeli military. And later in the evening, there was a joint statement by Hamas's military wing, the Qassam Brigade, and the Islamic Jihad's military wing, the Quds Brigade, saying that they were working together in response to the Israeli attacks on Gaza. And they said in the statement that the Israeli airstrikes and attacks in the past 48 hours were an attempt by the, I'm quoting them, the Zionist regimes attempting to cover up its crimes that it has perpetrated against the civilians and peaceful protesters in recent weeks. They also said that they will not remain silent as Israel attacks Gaza. They literally said blood for blood and bombing for bombing.
Very well, thank you for that. Ashraf Shannon, correspondent there, talking to us from the Gaza Strip. Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, we have Shabir Hassan Ali, who's an activist and Islamic scholar, joining us from London. And also from Washington, D.C., Michael Lane. He's president of the American Institute for Foreign Policy. I'd like to welcome you both, and I'll start first with you, Shabir Hassan Ali. It's been a busy day there in Gaza, in and around Gaza, and you're looking at two incidents. Let's first focus on the first incident, and that is how there's been rocket fire coming from Gaza. Israel has responded, and this is an ongoing development at this point. It hasn't stopped yet. Just in the past hour, there's been more rocket fire coming from the Gaza Strip. When you hear about this, what is your view as to why there's a reason, in your opinion, for rocket fire to come from Gaza, in this case in point, at this time?
Well, if you look at what the Zionists have been doing, at least, I mean, leave all 70 odd years, but if you look at just the last few months, they've been getting more and more arrogant, more and more vicious with the way they're dealing with the unarmed protesters, and it's not unexpected for the resistance factions within occupied Palestine to turn around and say, look, enough is enough. This is beginning to we have to make a reply. We have to do something. And Israel, with all of its, you know, huge weapons and billions of dollars of U.S. Military aid and this, that, and the other, it gets so terrified of unarmed children at the border fence in Gaza that it needs to use live bullets. And then it somehow expects, and the world sits around quietly, it expects that no one will do anything. the reason why Israel is getting more and more violent and more psychotic is, number one, because it is a psychotic entity. And secondly, because the world does nothing. The world just sits around pandering to it. America keeps giving it more and more weapons, keeps giving it more and more legitimacy. And as long as this continues, this spoiled brat called so-called Israel, this illegitimate spoiled brat, will continue to do this. And the only language that Israel understands is the language of violence and the language of resistance. It doesn't understand anything more.
Okay, Michael Lane, you heard our explanation there from our guests in London. Are you convinced?
No, I'm not convinced. Look, this has been an upward escalating spiral, this particular round of things, for several months now. But what we really have is a multi-decade upward, sometimes pacifying, but essentially a multi-decade upward spiral of conflict between the entities in the area. The only thing that is ever going to resolve this that I can see is direct talks where they sit down and negotiate out their differences and agree that each other should be able to have the advantage of their people living under self-rule in a safe environment, safe and secure environment. But when we get involved in playing exactly what we've been doing for decades and now what we've been doing for months intensifying right here, which is tit for tat. You throw a rocket, I'll drop two bombs. You throw five rockets, I'll drop 10 bombs, et cetera. You know, we're just not getting anywhere to safety and security for the region. That is what everybody should be after.
Well, this is the most violent exchange of rockets and mortar shells between Israel and Gaza, Shebri Hassan Ali, since the war in Gaza back in 2014. If we were to take a look at that war, maybe it's a good time to take a look at some of the stats. 2,200 killed Palestinians, 11,000 others wounded, and these are ones that are official on paper. It could be more. And then we can add to that the 162 that were killed in this great march of return. But when you look at the death toll, who's to answer for this? This is where the problem is, I believe, where Palestinians in the Gaza Strip in particular, in this case in point, they're not getting any justification for these killings. No explanations other than Israeli fire killing it, and there's no one to really protect them or to give them any type of explanation here. Do you think this is part of the anger emanating from the Gaza Strip?
Without a doubt. And I mean, you're completely right. And I'd like to correct Mr. Lane, if I may, where he says that it's a constant tit for tat. The reality is you have an illegal occupation, illegal according to international law, something which, unfortunately, Mr. Lane's government doesn't seem to understand. And this occupation has been using illegal means to harm and attack unarmed children, unarmed women, unarmed men, unarmed civilians in a manner that is, if any other country was doing this, then America would be all over their case. But it's because America allows it. All of this that is currently happening in Palestine, in occupied Palestine, be it in Gaza, be it in Palestine proper, all of this, the blood is firmly on the hands of every American taxpayer. Because it's American taxes and British taxes, I hasten to add, Western taxes, that are paying for this Zionist cancer. Mm-hmm. This is the reality. And I appreciate that Mr. Lane is saying that there needs to be a discussion and there needs to be negotiations. I get that. I understand where he's coming from. But tell me something. If someone breaks into your house, destroys your house, throws you out, and decides your house is his house, are you going to sit down and negotiate with that person? Or are you going to start taking more action, especially when you see that all of your neighbors, everyone in the entire street in your locality is saying, no, this person who's occupied you, he's a nice guy, you know, you should talk to him. It's your house. Why the hell should I talk to a terrorist?
Okay, let's the occupation, Michael Lane, looking at the blockade that has gone on. Another incident has happened, and that is how the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, and this is the first time this has happened, through a small array of small ships, or you can call them boats, I should say, tried to break the naval blockade. This is actually symbolic of how Palestinians in the Great March and Return rallies every Friday were throwing stones. In the fact that they know that if they cross that boundary, which is illegal because Israel has set that boundary, then obviously they're going to be taken in by Israeli forces. When you hear about an incident like that, what is your reaction when you hear about Gazans who are under this 12-year-old blockade at this point almost, are breaking out the naval blockade and trying to break that?
Well, they're obviously very brave individuals, and they're taking a great risk, great personal risk in doing this, because, of course, you don't know how it's going to turn out. Things like this have a tendency to escalate and could result in the loss of boats and loss of life. At this point, it does look like restraint has been shown and that the boats have been taken into custody, or some of them, and are being led back, and the people who are on those boats have been taken into custody. So we didn't have something that spun out of control this time. I understand completely why the Palestinians feel frustrated and why they want to break the blockade and why they want to have free shipping. But from the Israeli point of view, you have to be realistic about this. Not only can you get commercial and medical supplies in from the sea, but you can get weaponry in from the sea as well. And the Gaza Strip is used as a launching pad for military weapons and terrorists going across the border to threaten the safety and security of Israel. And so as long as that possibility exists, Israel is going to err on the side of their own people's safety and security, and the blockade is going to continue, as well as control of other territories that my colleague mentioned in his first answer. The peace treaty, an ultimate global comprehensive peace agreement between the parties involved, is the only way that we're going to break the cycle of all these things, including the blockade, and get to a point where the Palestinian people, particularly the ones in Gaza, which is what we're talking about now, can actually build a country and make themselves into a prosperous and safe and secure area.
The explanation that our guest there gave, Shabir Hassan Ali, do you buy it in terms of why Israel is restricting and exerting this blockade on Gaza going on its 12th year?
Well, this is the standard mantra, if you like, of people who are supporting the Zionist entity. And, you know, they never actually apply blame. In the entire discussion thus far, I have yet to see Mr. Lane say categorically that Israel is acting in a criminal manner, because it is. It has no right to demarcate the naval borders of Gaza. It has no right to touch Gaza, or Palestine for that matter. It has no right. It is a criminal entity, a criminal state, run by among the most corrupt people on the face of this earth, that engages and promotes terrorism. It's well known that the Zionists have been behind, along with their Arab counterparts, have been behind Daesh and Al-Nusra and so on. And they are, I mean, come on, this beggars belief when I hear someone like Mr. Lane say that, you know, yes, there needs to be a discussion and everything. And it's always, you kind of treat Palestinians and the Israelis as equal in this situation. They're not. You're saying that the boats that come into Gaza might bring weapons in. Habibi, look, the boats that come into occupied Palestine, what you call Israel, do bring weapons in. The planes bring weapons in. They bring huge amounts of weapons in from the United States and, unfortunately, from Britain. And no one says anything about that. So what? The Palestinians have no right to defend themselves against this insanity, against a nuclear-armed power that is a rogue nation? This mantra, I'm sorry, this is sickening. I'm sure Mr. Lane has got the best of intentions, but he really doesn't seem to get it. Uh-huh. This is an occupation, an illegal occupation.
Okay.
Right? The people are being suffocated. The people are inside essentially a concentration camp, like Auschwitz. And the world complained about Auschwitz and said that Hitler was very bad. Well, I'm saying Netanyahu and the Zionists are no different to Adolf Hitler. They were the same as the Nazis. Now, prove me wrong, Mr. Lane.
Okay, let's give the floor to Mr. Lane. Go ahead.
Well, I just flat out reject any assertion that the circumstances in the Gaza Strip are
doing the same thing
as what we saw at Auschwitz.
It's the same. It is the same.
No, it's not the same thing.
The Israelis are essentially gassing.
I think history reflects that's not correct.
It is the same. It is the same. You can deny it because it doesn't fit into your sensibilities. But I'm sorry, sir. This is what it is. Gaza is the Auschwitz of today, and the Netanyahu regime are the Nazis of today. And Netanyahu is the Adolf Hitler of today. If you support them, you are with the Nazis.
Okay, let's give Michael Lane the floor now. Michael Lane, go ahead.
Yeah, again, I just reject that out of hand. It's not a valid comparison. I mean, what happened at Auschwitz and the other German concentration camps in terms of mass wholesale extermination of Jews for no other reason than they were Jews is
so
not applicable
are getting
to
because
a
of no
situation.
Other reason than they're Palestinians.
1 second. Let's give Michael Lane a chance to talk. Go ahead, Michael Lane.
Well, no, there is a lot of conflict along the border. There are a lot of attempts, as we just saw this morning. Our show today started off with a discussion of the alleged 28 missiles that came over the border from Gaza into Israel. You mentioned that that was only the first volley, that there have been additional volleys. We probably don't even know at this point how many missiles have crossed over the border. We do know that the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, have had a very vigorous response trying to eradicate any further attempts to do that. But to compare, you know, the Jews in Germany never were firing rockets into Hitler's headquarters. It just didn't happen.
They made resistance. Remember the Warsaw Ghetto? They made resistance, just like the Palestinians are. You supported the people in the Warsaw Ghetto, but you don't support the Palestinians. Why? Is it the color of their skin? Should we come down to basics? Are you racist? Is this what the West is? Is the West racist?
No, I actually believe that.
Michael Lane, go ahead.
I actually believe the Palestinians deserve a homeland, and I believe that they should have the ability to live successfully, safely, peacefully, security, and successfully in that homeland.
But you
homeland.
Still don't condemn the Zionists for massacring them. You don't condemn. I have yet to hear you say that Israel commits acts of terror against the Palestinians. Can you say that? Then I will believe that you're righteous and honest. Otherwise, you're just talking. You're just a Zionist shill. Talking. Spearing the Hasbara narrative.
Okay.
Israel,
Michael Lane, go ahead.
Israel has the right to defend itself against attacks from places outside its country. Gaza is one of those places where these are coming.
Michael Lane, go ahead.
So Israel has the right to defend itself.
I would hope that both sides would sit down, declare a ceasefire, and talk this out.
Ceasefire. So hold on. For ages, since the beginning of 2018, the Israelis have been massacring unarmed Palestinians at the border post when they're doing this march against what your president, Mr. Trump, did, right? And you are saying that Israel is defending itself? What sort of madness is this? Think of it this way. Let me try and explain it to you, right? Someone is constantly beating you up, and yet everyone is saying that person who's beating you up has the right to defend himself. You're sitting there, you're trying to go to work, you're trying to go to complain about a particular atrocity that's happened or a crime that's happened against you, and all that's happening is you're getting killed, your women are getting killed, your children are getting killed, your elders are getting killed. And then you have the nerve to say Israel has the right to defend itself. Israel forfeits any right the day it killed the first innocent, right? Israel is the problem.
Okay.
Israel needs to be forced by sanctions, by military action, to shut up and back off, and then there can be a discussion. Until then, nothing.
Okay, but that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Why?
That's
because you people
happen.
Are back.
So what we need to do...
Let
Michael Lane speak.
You are part of the problem, sir.
We're going to bring you in, Shabir Hasan Ali. Michael Lane, go ahead.
Well... Yeah, I believe I heard him say in the very beginning of the show that he accused the Israelis of war crimes, he accused the Israelis of malbehavior, and he said the world stands by and does nothing. Well,
yes.
That's why nothing's going to happen, because the world has a different view of what's happening in this region than does my colleague. And so as long as we have totally different views, and when he says Israel is just per se illegitimate, no right to exist, and therefore can't defend itself, then it's hard to even get to the bargaining table. You need both
you
sides
do that
to
about
acknowledge
the
that they are
You say
individuals
the Palestinians
that,
have no right okay. to defend themselves. You're doing the same thing.
Okay.
You're doing exactly the same thing by saying that Israel's got the right to defend itself. What about Palestine? It has no rights?
Well,
it can't receive weaponry from others outside?
The Palestinian people have the right to a safe, secure, and successful homeland.
They have the right to defend themselves against Zionist terror, sir. Why can't you say it? Because you are a Zionist shill spewing Hasbara narrative that's being fed to you.
All right, let's move on. We're getting to the end of the program here. I got to give 30 seconds to each of you. Michael Lane, this is getting very close to becoming a war based on the way that this exchange of fire is taking place. Do you believe that we're looking at another war between Israel and the Gaza Strip? 30 seconds, please.
Yeah, I think we're at a 50-50 chance here. We're right at the brink. I think we could easily fall over into war at this point. It's going to take some restraint on both sides for the conflict to be avoided. But I think the door to avoid the conflict is wide open, and both sides just need to avail themselves of saying, okay, let's de-escalate, let's calm down a little bit, and let's not go to war.
I'm bringing Shabir Hassan
Ali. We're at that 50-50 precipice right now.
Shabir Hassan Ali, you heard Michael Lane. Many do have that view towards Israelis and towards the Palestinians. In 30 seconds, what can you tell those people?
I think those people need to wake up and they need to see what's going on. They need to stop watching this mainstream Zionist media that just constantly says Israel, like Mr. Lane says, Israel has the right to defend itself. Fair enough. Let's say Israel does have the right to defend itself. The Palestinians also have the right to defend themselves, and the world should be supporting the Palestinians, because the America and United Kingdom and many other countries, especially Saudi and others right now, are supporting Israel massively. So why can't the world support, even by food, if not weapons, by food, why can't they support the Palestinians? Okay. Why is that considered a crime by the Israelis? Because the Israelis
Thank you very much.
Are so terrified of
everything. We're just fresh out of time. Thank you, Shabir Hassan Ali, activist and Islamic scholar from London. And thank you, Michael Lane, president of the American Institute for Foreign Policy from Washington, D.C. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitaly and the entire team in the capital of Tehran, it's goodbye.